Little drizzle moving through this morning. Cleveland weather from Channel 3 meteorologist Holly Strano. Scattered shower, breezy, 60. Rain, maybe a thunderstorm tonight, 53. Election day tomorrow, scattered showers and 58. Little light rain scattered, 48 right now. Your severe weather station. Browns lose. What are you thinking? Mike Snyder Sports in 3 minutes. Unless we go for two, of course.
From your house to the White House, Cleveland's Morning News with Wills and Snyder on News Radio WTAM 1100.
It's the deal, boss. Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News. Will's ways to save in. I love the item he has for you. Matt, good morning. You've got a big week lined up for us. Thank you in advance. In the kitchen, you have to have a good set of knives for speed and, most importantly, safety, man.
Absolutely. I mean, that's what it comes down to. We're going to do two different sets of knife deals from the two leading brands in the world. Very excited about this. So first of all, the leading cause of emergency room visits, and anyone in my life can attest to this, Clutus Assa, Northeast Ohio, dull knives, not sharp knives. Dull knives, when you rock back and forth, you try to have your body do the work instead of the knife. That's when accidents happen and the imprecision occurs. A sharp knife, again, your best friend in the kitchen. And today we're going to tackle an 8-piece steak knife set from Wusthof. And then in just over a week, if you need one of those Henkel's knives, those ultra-sharp kitchen knives, there'll be a separate deal on that. So mark your calendar for that.
Excellent. Wusthof, let's come across then, yeah.
Well, my favorite chef, Chef Bing, said it best. You've just bought a $30 piece of protein, and you're going to cut it with some ridiculous knife you have in your drawer.
The presentation's not going to be that great. Yeah, you're right.
No, you're going to be sawing through it. Take pride in your food. You've gone to the great level to get it. You're going to serve it, whether this is Thanksgiving turkey, upcoming beautiful pork chops, steak, chicken. If you're a vegetarian, this will work for portobello mushrooms. Whatever it is you've spent your money on, give it the treatment it deserves. So again, Wusthof, you've heard of them, I'm assuming.
Bill. Absolutely, absolutely.
Been around since 1814, German craftsmanship. It's an 8-piece, beautiful knife set, complete with the presentation box. I swear that the presentation box is nicer than my first apartment. And it's really a good way to treat your cooking, elevate your food, but also when you serve it, a little bit more pride tied to it. The price drop, $49.99, down from $150. Wusthof 8-piece steak knife set. Awesome.
Excellent. Order it now for Thanksgiving, and then somebody that you love around your table will be so impressed, and you'll kind of wink, wink. Hey, Christmas is coming up, so it's another great gift idea. The deal boss, Matt Granite, Channel 3's Morning News, Will's Ways to Save. Follow him on Twitter and watch him on 3 this morning. Back here same time tomorrow when we got some sound stuff involving wood. Can't wait to hear that. Thanks, pal.
Awesome.
Already voted. Thousands have. Election day tomorrow. President Trump here for a rally today. Coming up in 5, Bill Zimfer will take us through some of the election news. Plus, had a chance to catch up with Eric Trump. He campaigned a lot in Ohio over the weekend. 5 good minutes with him on the way on WTAM 1100. 5:15. This is Bill Wills. Good morning. Mike Snyder Sports. Mornings 15 and 45 past. What a weekend. What a weekend for you. Covering these teams.
I'll tell you, well, the Cavs right now, it's just brutal. The Browns, I had no, it's pretty much what I expected yesterday, Bill. I think it was, the Browns did some things offensively, and the Chiefs did what they do. And that's what we got, 37-21. I didn't lose any sleep over that one. It really was an average day by Kansas City standards. They ended the game averaging 36 points a game. They scored 37. Browns actually did okay. They scored 3 touchdowns. Kansas City's offense, just too much for the Browns. Now, the Browns did score 3 times, with Duke Johnson scoring 2 of them, his biggest day of the season under new offensive coordinator Freddie Kitchen, but it's still a loss. As interim head coach now, Greg Williams looked at the day.
Big thing was to be aggressive and to play aggressively. And our guys responded in that way. You know, we got to play better in some situations, but we played aggressive.
Baker Mayfield threw for 297 yards and 2 scores.
I think there's a lot to build on, but there's obviously so much more room for improvement. You know, when you're playing a team like that, you got to stay in the game. You got to give yourself chances. You got to do the little things right. You got to chip away take time off the clock just because of, you know, the type of offense they have.
Well, and it's such a balanced offense. And how about this? All touchdowns for Kansas City scored by Cleveland kids Travis Kelce and Kareem Hunt.
Very tight all week. We knew we were coming back home. And Trav, one of my best friends on the team for sure. And we definitely can relate because we both came from this area. We know everything about it. You know, it's kind of special that we on the same team going out there and having a big game for both. He had a big game and, you know, I had a big game. I think only Cleveland people scored today.
I tell you, there was a throng waiting for them when I was leaving the stadium yesterday. A lot of Chiefs garb was worn, I think, by a lot of people pulling for Kareem. Chiefs now 8-1. Browns now 2-6-1, and they'll host the Falcons on Sunday. Atlanta, an easy winner over the Redskins, 38-14 yesterday. They're now 4-4. It'll be a big game for them. I'm looking for a win for the Browns, and I really am. I'm also looking for one for the Cavs, as Bill put it. Right now, things are rough. Steelers have assumed the top spot in the North. Patriots win over Green Bay last night, 31-17. You want to hear this? Josh Gordon, 130 yards receiving and a touchdown. No more unbeaten. Rams fall to the Saints, 45-35. Ohio State up to number 7 despite struggling over Nebraska. Bucks are at Michigan State Saturday at noon. Cavs have dropped 8 of their first 9, are in Orlando tonight at 7. You can hear it right here. And how about the Magic? They won last night in San Antonio. The Lakers are now 4-6. They got beaten by the Raptors last night. And no Gold Glovers for the Tribe this year. Home of the Indians and the Cavs, Mike Snyder, News Radio, WTAM 1100.
Bill Zimfer joins us this morning on News Radio, WTAM 1100, in-depth on Election Day. Bill, good morning. For political junkies and just news watchers, it's going to be fascinating to see the map after the election, right?
It sure is. This is one, Bill, that will be fascinating to watch as it unfolds, both the House and the Senate. Senate's a little less complicated, where Democrats really face a double obstacle. They've got to win re-election in all 26 of the seats that are up for re-election that are held by Democrats right now, and need to flip a couple of more. Not so easy to hold on to all those seats. Heidi Heitkamp in North Dakota, Claire McCaskill in Missouri, Bill Nelson in Florida, Joe Donnelly in Indiana, John Tester in Montana, all being pushed right to the limit. In the House of Representatives, Bill, I look at this as a foot race where everyone is heading in different directions and running different distances. It is going to be so difficult because these races are so tight for a number of different reasons. You start with a guy like Dana Rohrabacher in California's 48th district. Been in Congress for 30 years. Now he is in the fight of his life against Democrat Harley Ruda. Could be a flip there because of changing political sentiments. Then you have in South Florida. Well, these are districts that went to Hillary Clinton by a big margin in 2016, but yet are held by Republicans. Could Democrats flip them? It'll be interesting to watch. You look into Pennsylvania, where redistricting factors in. In the first district, this is a newly created district where you've got a tight race going on. In the fourth district, two new candidates that are making their first congressional runs. It is so interesting to watch from coast to coast, Bill, and these races are tight for a number of different reasons. Districts that went for Trump in the heartland in 2016 with Democrats in the lead, and districts that went to Hillary Clinton in 2016 with Republicans in the lead.
Bill, governor's races, get you out of here on this, even in Ohio with Cordray DeWine. You know, for 2020, it's very important which party controls the Capitol in any state because that helps that state party when it comes to a president or a challenger to Trump campaigning, right?
Absolutely. A gubernatorial race is also going to be key this year. We've heard a lot of spotlights on Georgia and Florida, but Ohio is another one. This is certainly going to be interesting, and it kind of sets the tone. I mean, almost labels you as a red state or a blue state as you head into the 2020 elections. This midterm will not only affect the next 2 years, but it'll affect the next 8 years.
Bill Zimfer with me. Bill, thanks much.
You're welcome, Bill.
Coming up, I caught up with the president's son, Eric Trump. Campaigning over the weekend. President Trump, of course, here today at the IX, 3 o'clock. Eric Trump on your money and a reverse mortgage. I keep seeing the ads for these things. Jordan Goodman joins me this morning at moneyanswers.com. I want to have Jordan explain this a bit more and what he has come across when it comes to whether or not it might be a good thing for you or someone in your family. Jordan, set this up for me, the reverse mortgage. Again, what is it?
There's a lot of confusion about it, Bill. So basically what it is you built up equity in your home over many years by paying down your mortgage. And a reverse mortgage is where you take the equity out either in the form of a lump sum payment or a credit line, and you pay off your underlying forward mortgage, and then you don't have to pay it back. If you don't make payments, it keeps accruing, and when you die or leave the home many years in the future, then it gets repaid. So it's a way of kind of keeping your home, but getting the equity out of it to use to pay off your existing mortgage or other debts, or even to invest to make it better for you. There's a website that can help people find the best deal out there, reverseloanchoices.com. There's a lot of people very confused about how this whole thing works, Bill, and in the right circumstance, it can be very helpful.
Excellent. A lot of it depends maybe on the age, where you're at, and that sort of thing in life, right?
You have to be at least 62 years old or older, and they're going to use part of the proceeds to pay off your first mortgage. That's definitely going to be one of the things they're going to do. Now, the older you are, the more money you get, because it's based on the actuarial table. So if you're 70, you're going to get more for it than if you're 62. If you're 75, you'll get more for that. A lot of people do it as a lump sum, and typically you're going to get roughly 50% of the value of your house. So your house is worth $300,000, you'll get $150,000, something like that. But if you're older, you might get a little bit more, something like that. So in the right circumstance, if you want to pay off your underlying mortgage, pay off some other debts like credit card debts, it could be a good way to use the equity in your home while you still get to live there and you still get to own your home.
Jordan Goodman, MoneyAnswers.com. Follow up with him there and find out more. All right, thanks, Jordan.
Thank you, Bill.
Talking Browns, Monday morning, best team coverage of the Browns. Terry Putto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Great follow on Twitter. Starts our Browns talk this morning. Hi, Terry.
Hello, Mr. Will.
All right, glass half full for a minute. We can overanalyze one game, Greg Williams. I thought all year, Terry, they're better. They're just not good yet. And yesterday, I thought you could say yet again, yeah, it is a better team.
I think so. I mean, I've been getting emails from fans saying, how can you say it's better and so on. But, I mean, defensively, they had so many main guys out, and you could just see it was going to be a disaster there. But watching that game, and Mike Snyder was there with me, going, well, why weren't some of these basic things done earlier in terms of throwing the ball to Duke Johnson, rolling the quarterback out? I guess it did show what a mess that offensive play calling was with Jackson and Haley.
Yeah, it really did, Terry. And I think as you wrote it today, they lost, but right direction, I think, is the feeling you got as you looked at that game as it wound down.
Now, the Chiefs' defense isn't all that good. Nonetheless, Baker Mayfield's been taken a pounding by some defenses that weren't very strong. You know, Tampa Bay, for example, was one of those. And the other day, Sunday, I don't think he was all beat up physically at all.
Yeah, he had that one hit there where the guy kind of gone, probably should have been right. Flagged, and they checked him out for a concussion. He said yesterday, Terry, the losing isn't wearing him down. They just want to keep getting better. I think that's the thing that I get concerned about, and I look at the schedule, and I'm trying to find where a real legitimate opportunity for this team to get another win is.
You better believe it. That is what's really hard for them at this point. And this is what happens, you know, when you're – frankly, keep changing front offices, you keep changing rosters. Sometimes you put together sort of a good first level of players that could win you some games. And this goes back to, say, the Joe Banner era or the Mike Pettine era. Boy, those are some names. But in turn, remember, they would be like, you know, 3-7 or 3-6, and then they wouldn't win anymore. Because some injuries hit, and then you're just in big trouble. My concern is just that they continue to develop offensively with Mayfield, with Johnson, you know, with Nick Chubb, with some of these others, and maybe find another receiver to go with Jarvis Landry out of this group. And, boy, it sounds like we're talking about training camp, but guess what? We are.
Well, we are. And I think if there's one thing to take away mm-hmm. and to be encouraged about is as we watch the Chiefs, now it wasn't just him, but John Dorsey, very integral in putting that team together. And Terry, that's a balanced offense. They got a lot of speed. And that's obviously something the Browns need to enhance. And you just aren't going to do it during the season. You've got to do that in the offseason.
They also didn't have a bunch of quote unquote eternal discord, you know, going on there. Yes, Dorsey ended up losing his job because management thought that he had racked up the salary cap up too high. Of course, part of the reason he did that was the Chiefs went from 2-14 to winning big, and they wanted to win big right away, and that's part of the way you do it is you spend. And that's and that could be something we see next year. But I'm not too worried about if that's Dorsey's biggest problem. You know, here the biggest problem has been identifying talent. And you look at the all right, his first two picks, you know, Denzel Ward, by the way, we saw what happened. Denzel Ward's not in the game. That wasn't pretty at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kid can really play, and Baker's got a is the best rookie quarterback right now, statistically, and I think if you just watch them. And, you know, some of these other guys he picked lower in the draft, whether it's Avery or I thought Callaway showed a little bit of a flash with the catch, some of these others. You know, again, there's reason to hope and to Chubb's another one. I feel pretty good about in terms of his talent evaluation. That's the reason they have a chance to be good down the line.
Well said. I'm not sure if I'm a Greg Williams fan. I'm not going to lobby for him for the job next year. But you know what? Having said that, I know in the post game, the one thing I liked, he don't have to look at the tape. He can give me an answer. I don't have to look at the tape. He can give me an answer at least.
And also, he also didn't have a sense that he was going to go fight with somebody else, one of his assistants. And finally, by the way, they didn't have 14,000 stupid penalties.
Great point. Yeah,
the Chiefs actually had more penalties than they did. And that one bright spot, we'd have to listen to Hugh Jackson this morning.
Right, and say, well, I'm
look at
not going to stop.
Yeah, look at tape. All right, Terry Pluto, Cleveland Plain Dealer, cleveland.com. Follow him on Twitter. Good follow, as always. Good posts, columns yesterday, and his takes on the team. Terry, thanks, pal.
Thank you, guys.
We'll talk with Josh Cribbs later at 7:50 this morning. Although special teams, there were a couple plays.
Well, block punt, there's always something.
There's always something.
It's always something, it seems.
Join Tripp from the Hard Rock Rock Scene in Northfield Park this afternoon, 3 until 6. He'll be talking Browns Chiefs. Get his take. Josh will be with him also in the 5 o'clock hour. Best team coverage of the Browns, WTAM 1100, Cleveland's News Talk and Sports Station 650.
The difference is I can't campaign for all of those House members. There's so many of them. So I think I've made a difference of 5 or 6 or 7. That's a big difference.
When you vote, you can be a check on bad behavior. When you vote, you can choose hope over fear.
So if you want more caravans and you want more crime, vote Democrat. It's very simple.
I think you can pick out the voices, right? Yeah.
And now, 5 good minutes.
President Trump's son, Eric, I had a chance to catch up with him. He was campaigning a lot Friday, Saturday. President Trump at the IX today. We talked about the economy and the feeling on the campaign trail. Friday, of course, 250,000 jobs created the past month. Unemployment rate now at 3.7%.
Yeah, it was incredible. And by the way, manufacturing is coming back to this country. 401ks are at all-time highs. Right now, there's 7.2 million open jobs in this country, meaning there are more open jobs in this country than there are people in this country to fill those open jobs. And so, I mean, our economy is booming again. We just got rated the number one economy in the world by the folks in Davos. I mean, you know, America's back. And you remember Obama used to say, hey, you know, we'll never bring manufacturing back to the country. There's no magic wand that will ever make that happen. And sure enough, manufacturing under my father is going to be racing back, and that's what happens when you cut taxes. I mean, he cut taxes so significantly for, you know, for all citizens, for small businesses in this country. It's what happens when you cut regulation. You actually allow America to be competitive. I mean, we will beat any country in the world, and we'll do it every single time, so long as our politicians stay out of the way.
Eric Trump with me. Couple of events. I know it's important to keep that base energized and get out the vote. You're doing that in Northeast Ohio, aren't you?
Just so critically important. I hear it from people all the time. Well, you know, Trump's my guy. Trump's not on the ticket, so I'm not going to go out and vote. And I go, please don't say that. Please don't think that way. I mean, by people not voting, they're effectively voting against the president. And because of how hot our country is right now, they're effectively voting against this country. You know, you have to get out there. You have to vote. It's so crucial. And listen, Ohio, you know this well as anybody, Bill, but Ohio is absolutely crucial. You've got some really, really close races here. People need to get out to the polls. People need to vote.
Eric Trump with me for a couple more minutes. You know, the crowds that the president draws, I think, amazes even his opponents. The energy. You've been on a lot of these trips. They line up early. I mean, the IX Monday will have a huge crowd, I am sure. It is amazing to see the reaction to him out in this country, Eric.
And, you know, it's beautiful, actually. I introduced him in Houston. You probably saw that. So I went out on stage right before, you know, him with my wife. And, I mean, there were 22,000 people in the audience there, and there was another 50,000 outside. I mean, literally all of downtown Houston was shut down. That's how excited people are. And, you know, there's such a beautiful crowd. You go out there and everybody's, you know, everybody's holding an American flag and everybody's holding signs. And, you know, it's incredibly patriotic. And, you know, these are good, amazing Americans who are just proud of this country and are excited by what's happening and are excited to finally have a president who's fighting for us and fighting for our nation and fighting for our jobs and defending us against, countries like China and everybody else who have been ripping us off for decades and decades and decades. And, you know, we were losing our jobs. We were losing everything to overseas, and it's no longer happening. And so, you know, it's a beautiful sight when you see that level of kind of patriotism in one room, and the rallies are so much fun. If somebody hasn't gone and seen them, I'd encourage them to get out there because they're just they're a blast, as you know, better than anybody.
Eric Trump, for another minute, we see a lot on the campaign trail. We see a lot around the White House. You and I talked several times before Donald Trump was elected. I'm curious, 2 years into this, what have you learned about yourself? What surprised you? Is it the pace at the White House? What? Talk to me about Eric Trump and people around the president.
Well, listen, I think two things surprised me. How vicious politics are. I mean, it's horribly vicious, especially when you're not within the system. We're outsiders. We're not. We were never, you know, meant to be in this, right? And so, you know, we were never part of that club. And I mean, the viciousness is something that I've never seen before. I mean, some just terrible people and, you know, the way they do things. But, and there's also some really good ones at the same time. But I mean, the viciousness is unbelievable. And then I think second is how much was actually, able to be accomplished. I mean, again, in 2 years, we went from having, you know, 10%+ unemployment to 3.7% unemployment. We have the lowest African American unemployment in the history of our country, the lowest Hispanic unemployment, the lowest female unemployment. Our economy is on fire. I mean, we were in a period of total stagnation as a country, and look how well our nation's doing. Our military's rebuilt. I mean, everything. We're taking on the opioid crisis. We're taking on prison reform. We're taking on the cost of prescription drugs, which have gone through the roof. I mean, I think what surprised me is how much was able to get accomplished in such a short period of time. And this country is doing incredibly well, Bill, and I'm very proud of the job he's doing.
Eric Trump, thank you for your time. Safe travels.
Yeah, thanks so much. We'll speak to you soon.
Midterm elections swing the balance of power in Congress. Hear from the winners and the losers and all the results. Vote on what happens with the Wine-Cordray race, too, with Renacci as well. The election night tomorrow night, 8 o'clock until midnight here on News Radio WTAM 1100 on Vote 2018. By the way, Rush Limbaugh noon today, and then I guess he's jetting off to Cape Girardeau. He and Sean Hannity will join President Trump at a rally there tonight. Best team coverage of the Browns, Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside the Josh Cribbs, one of our faves, of course, now part of the coaching staff out in Berea with us to talk about a 37-21 loss. Hey, Josh, good morning. Look, things move fast when you're there on the sidelines, I'm sure. As a fan, though, I thought Baker looked better yesterday. It looked like there were a couple of tweaks in the offense where he looked a little more comfortable at times, Josh.
Yes, I'm definitely excited about his progression and the way that Baker is taking this starting role, this leading role of our team to another level. You know, we faced a good opponent in Kansas City, and I felt like, generally looking at his performance, he did really well.
You know, Josh, you look at that Kansas City team, John Dorsey, an integral part of assembling the talent on that team. That's a heck of an offense they have over there, isn't it? A lot of balance. They got speed. I mean, they really can do anything, can't they?
Yes. My hat goes off to them. You know, they're at the top of the league right now, and rightfully so. Very dynamic offense, a lot of weapons. And it showed in the game yesterday, definitely.
You know, Josh, you look at the Browns offense. Bill mentioned Baker looking more comfortable. Good to see Duke Johnson getting involved, wasn't it?
Yes, of course. When Duke has the opportunity, has a lot of touches on the ball, you know, you see how well the offense moves the ball down the field. And I just knew that was going to happen once Freddie Kitchens had an opportunity to take over. You know, a different mindset. He's coming from that running back room where he had opportunity to sit with Duke every, you know, day in and day out. So definitely knew that it was going to be an increase in his role.
You know, Greg Williams talked about how the play calling, everything kind of went smoothly in the communication and so forth. Josh, was there a different feel? What was kind of your feel yesterday after the turbulent week that was?
I tell you what, the guys battled. You know, you didn't see no quit in the team. You know, again, my hat goes off to this team. We played a really good football team in Kansas City, and I think the guys handled it really well. I think Freddie Kitchens, he called it really a heck of a game, his first time out there. I wanted to congratulate him on that. And, you know, we just got to go back and go harder. It wasn't good enough.
Josh, right now, you're at a point, I mean, these are some good teams the Browns have been playing. Are you see yourself as a coach now kind of like in pep talk mode too? Because the losing can wear on everybody, can't it?
Definitely. You know, you're in a situation at this point in the season where you're trying to find wins. You know, enough with the moral victories. Yes, Baker is looking really good. But if we keep this mindset of just improving, you know, you fall into a slump. And we don't want that. You know, we realize we're making strides, but we have to find a way to turn it into W's, and that's the only thing that matters.
Hey, Josh, I'm curious. This the first Monday after a game with a Greg Williams theme, if you will, at Berea. So as a Browns player, let's go into special teams. We know there was the block. That's a concern. What are you doing today? You sitting down again, going over the film, or you just let's move on?
Well, we definitely go over the film. This is our day to do that. And when you look at, you know, let's say special teams, for instance, it's the little things. It's just the little things that matter so hugely. Your distance, where you line up, and not falling asleep. You know, there wasn't nothing about our scheme. There wasn't nothing about the coaching. You know, if we could go out there and play for these guys, we would. But, you know, sometimes we have to take ownership. We as coaches will say we have to coach better. But at the same time, we didn't play as a unit good enough to win that game and be solid. So that's what it's about. You know, you have to be solid in your responsibility and your job. If we get a job, we have to continue to do that job every single play and not take a play off. So, you know, when we have that responsibility, we have to take advantage of it.
37-21 loss up next, Atlanta at First Energy Stadium. Josh Cribbs, best team coverage of the Browns. He'll join Triv from the Hard Rock Roxino Northfield Park this afternoon. Josh, thanks, pal.
Thank you.
Complete Cavaliers coverage now on WTAM 1100. Bill Wills, Mike Snyder alongside John Michael. We'll call the Cavs Magic game from Orlando tonight. He is there this morning. Your morning Cavs update brought to you by Huntington Bank. Looking for a bank that looks out for you. Welcome to Huntington. Hi, John.
Hi, guys.
A loss in Charlotte. It looks to me like, I mean, they're just struggling to find a rotation, to find something that works, it looks like, right now.
Yeah, I agree, and it's on both ends of the floor. You know, you give up 56.5% to a 500 team in Charlotte, and you're just not going to win the game. You know, and the Cavs only shot it at 43%. They are looking for some answers. I mean, the Cavs only had one starter in double figures in Charlotte, and that was Sam Decker with 11. Meanwhile, five players off the Hornet bench were in double figures. So, I mean, I think that's one of those games where, you know, they had a practice yesterday here in Orlando, and basically, it was like, look, guys, I mean, Larry Drew, the acting head coach, challenged these guys. He said, you know, particularly on defense, enough is enough. You know, and transition defense has been a problem throughout the season, along with a number of other things. But transition defense has been one of the real sore spots for this team. They gave up 21 points in transition to the Hornets. So, new challenge against a Magic team that actually went into San Antonio last night. The Magic had lost four in a row. The Spurs had won four in a row, but the Magic come up with a victory, so they're feeling pretty good about themselves. However, the Cavaliers will be catching the Magic on the tail end of a back-to-back. Hopefully they can take advantage. They have had traditionally, if you like trends and stuff like that, they've had success in this building, even though obviously they have a different looking team than the one that they've had over the last four seasons. So it should be a fun one tonight. Cavs and Magic tip off at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, John, they just need to kind of get something to build on. And we're not beyond even losing. They just right now need to get competitive, don't they?
As far as being competitive, John, I mean, that's pretty much what they're trying to do right now, right?
Well, I think, you know, right now, look, they're 1-8, and the object is, I think, still the same in terms of the goal. I mean, the goal was, hey, not only be a competitive team, but, you know, make a run toward the playoffs. But they're, you know, playoff-wise, yeah, we're only 9 games in, but that hole can't get any deeper right now, and they know this, and they need to play much better basketball than they've had through the first 9 games. So, yeah, I mean, it almost hurts to say, gee, the goal is just to stay competitive. But I guess in a way that's right. I mean, I think competitive in the standings, that goal is still the same for this team. They want to turn it around. They want to play some meaningful games this season, and they can't continue to go the way they are and play meaningful games. They know the time is now, even though we're talking about November. to really start to figure some things out, get a rotation going, and hopefully start putting some games in the win column.
Yeah, that's the thing, John. And as you mentioned, Coach Drew saying, hey, guys, you can't just get pushed around. The things just slipped away against Charlotte. And it really is. It's kind of intertwined. It is both ends of the floor. It seems like bad offense can lead to poor defense. I think Jordan Clarkson's probably been one guy, at least you know you're going to get some points out of him, but they need to get more consistency from everybody else at this point, don't they?
You're right. I think offensively, Jordan probably has been the most consistent player. And maybe Tristan Thompson with his activity, even though Tristan would tell you he'd like to finish more around the rim when he gets his opportunities, even though he doesn't get many at the rim throughout the course of the game. So you're right, Mike. I mean, I think it does. Look, on paper, we knew this team was going to have its issues trying to find consistent scorers to support Kevin Love. All right, now you're without Kevin Love for at a minimum 6 weeks. So now that's even more intensified. But what we thought was that this team had a chance to be better defensively than the teams that we've seen over the last 4 years. And last year, you'd hope it would be, as the Cavs ranked 29th defensively during the regular season just last year. Lowest ranking, no surprise, for a team to win one playoff series, let alone three, and route to the finals. But it hasn't happened. You know, defensively, Mike Longobardi, Cavs assistant coach, said that, just what you know, relayed, Mike, when this team has not seen the ball go through the basket, it tends to relax on the defensive end. And it hasn't seen the ball go through the basket much this season. And defensively, they need to get a lot better. So it is all intertwined. It does all work together. And hopefully, this team can start putting some things together as they take on an Orlando team tonight that, as I mentioned, got a big win in San Antonio yesterday. But it's a team that's 3-6 on the season. Certainly has its holes. Certainly has its issues. Hopefully, the Cavaliers can exploit some of those tonight.
Jim Jones will call it with you. He'll join us this time tomorrow morning. Tip off 7 o'clock tonight from Orlando. Cavs now with Nick Camino at 6. The tip-off show follows with Mike Snyder. All right, John Michael. Thanks, partner. Have part of that rally of Congressman Jim Renacci, who's on the hotline this morning. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
I am good, and I can only imagine the miles you have put on for the last several months and over the weekend on social media. I've been seeing you traveling the state today, the IX, with President Trump today, right?
Well, absolutely. I've been traveling the state, getting around, getting a message out, just trying to tell people the difference between myself and Sherrod Brown. And look, people don't know me. It's a big state, and I've had approximately 8 months to get my name out, and we're just getting around. I'll be happy to be with the president today as well.
It's hard to pick off any incumbent. I don't care what office they hold, because there is power in incumbency, and you know, especially in a statewide race, it is a challenge, isn't it?
Well, it absolutely is. And again, incumbency brings money and name ID, and that's a big issue. You got to overcome the name ID and the money. And of course, as many of the listeners know, my opponent has spent almost $12 million attacking me, which has actually helped out pretty well, Bill. Some people come up to me and say, hey, I saw you on TV the other day. So sometimes that helps as well.
President Trump in the rally today. I mean, look, it is amazing, the crowds, the energy he can bring to any campaign, right?
Well, absolutely. He'll be in Cleveland today. He's traveling the state trying to get his message out. And look, the economy's growing. Wages are up. Unemployment's down. There's a lot of positives going on in this country right now, and we got to keep the momentum going. It's one of the reasons why when I partnered up with him actually years ago when I endorsed him, look, this is what we have. I'm hoping people look at the energy and the economy and the growth and say we got to keep things moving forward.
Sir, no matter who you vote for, every poll at least shows there is energy on both sides, and that'll be the real win, is hopefully we have a record number voting in a midterm.
Well, absolutely, Bill. We got a record number of early voters this year, which is amazing. So the energy's out there. There's people from both sides going to be out there voting, and it's going to come down to who gets out and votes. This will be the election that really determines who gets out and who votes. That's who's going to win. These races are all going to be tight here in Ohio, but also across the country.
Congressman Jim Renacci, good luck, friend. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Have a great day.
Amazing how many generations this song can cover. I mean, you go to a high school on a Friday night, you'll hear this. Even today.
the Freddie Mercury story and Bohemian Rhapsody. Entertainment guy Jason Nathanson in. How big was this thing?
It did very, very well. Much better than expected. We were thinking maybe 35 to 40 million. And I really thought it would stick in that because the reviews just were not that great. It hit $50 million over the weekend, which was a big surprise. And I got to say, you know, I gave my review. I was not that into it. I didn't think it was the movie that Queen or Freddie Mercury deserved. A lot of people disagreeing with me. Going to see the movie, giving it an A cinema score, which is the poll from the people who, when you come out of the movie sometimes and they ask you how it did, it earned an A, which is fantastic. And I got to say, all my friends on Facebook and social media, they all loved it. So I'm not going to say I'm wrong on this, but
no, I mean,
a lot of people went and saw it, and they really, really liked it.
All right, another entertainment note trending this morning, the show Frasier. So many of these networks are going back and putting the stuff on that we saw years ago. I guess they're doing the same with Frasier?
Yeah, and they've been talking about this for a little while now. It's just a matter of when it's going to happen. Kelsey Grammer and the rest of the cast actually at a convention over the weekend, a comedy festival, were talking about it. They were asked about it, and they said that, yeah, it's there. They're thinking about it. They just haven't settled on what the premise is going to be. But David Hyde Pierce is on board, Jane Leaves, Perry Gilpin, all the people who were, you know, part of it the first time, except, of course, for John Mahoney, who died in February, who played Frasier's dad. But the rest of it, you know, everybody's going to be on board, and this is going to happen at some point, it seems. So, Frasier fans, get ready. Get those scrambled eggs and whatever else you think about the song, and get excited.
I always thought it was good, quick, kind of smart humor. You know,
it was fun. Again, do I need it to come back? Can't wait for. I miss Frasier so bad. There's so much television. I'm not missing Frasier, but if it comes back and it's good, sure, why not?
I did catch finally the first of House of Cards season 6.
Yeah. Okay.
The scene with her putting the ring on was outstanding.
Yes.
But I'll leave it for everyone else.
And there's a couple more outstanding scenes coming up from there. But I got to finish that one. I really want to know how it ends.
All right, pal. Jason Nathanson. Thanks, partner.
All right, take care.
The polls look to be close as far as the midterms. ABC News political analyst Steve Roberts joins me here at 8:54. Steve, no matter the poll, though, it looks like the enthusiasm is big for turnout here on both sides, right?
Well, yes, the intensity level is very high, and it's high in both parties. Democrats enjoyed over the summer a significant edge in terms of the energy, but it's clear that Republicans are catching up, Bill. Part of it, I think, is Trump's incessant campaigning, including being there in Cleveland. Part of it, I think, was the Kavanaugh hearings, which provided an organizing point for them. Part of it is the economy. The news has been very, very good. In our ABC poll, people are more optimistic about the economy today than they've been in 18 years. So all of that, I think, is narrowing the Democrats' advantage. And I think with only a day to go, I think all the talk about a blue wave clearly was premature. I do think the Democrats still have the advantage in winning back the House, and I do think that they're going to do well in gubernatorial races in states like Ohio and Michigan. But I think it's going to be closer than people thought. And I think Democrats have to worry that in remembering 2 years ago when there was a last-minute pro-Trump surge that the pundits and the pollsters, including me, did not really pick up. And so you got to be a little nervous if you're a Democrat this morning.
What's it tell you about his travel? The president's been to Montana. I've seen him in Arizona, Nevada, Florida over the weekend, Ohio here today. Some of this really, I think, looks ahead to 2020 because, I mean, you look at the state set up here in Ohio. If they can flip Columbus Democrat, it's going to be tougher for the president maybe because of the establishment in a state?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's about 2020 in two ways. Maybe three. One is, of course, as you point out quite correctly, if a party controls the gubernatorial chair during a presidential election, that's a big advantage in terms of publicity, in terms of energy in a state. But also, let's remember, Donald Trump is running for re-election. This tour is really the beginning of Donald Trump's re-election campaign. You have to think of it that way. And so when he comes to Cleveland, everybody knows this is not just about the governor's race or the Senate race. This is about his own race 2 years from now. And also when a president travels like this, he incurs debts. People, he can do favors for people. He can bring them up on the stage. He can mention them. He can take pictures with them. Those are all political favors that and due bills he's going to call in 2 years from now. So absolutely, this is very much Donald Trump 2020 as much as 2018.
Political analyst Steve Roberts, good take. Thanks, Steve.
Okay, pal.
Rush Limbaugh gets on the campaign trail. He's heading to Cape Girardeau tonight to be with Donald Trump. Interesting. Rush follows the news at noon. Trivisano after 3 with your traffic and weather. I'm back in the morning. This is Bill Wills. Good morning. Geraldo in Cleveland up next. Have a great